Okay, yeah, so I think there was just one organizer who I can thank, but please convey my gratitude to other organizers, assuming you see them. As Andreas said, I will speak about the effects of disorder and interaction in transport in topological insulators. And I think that's sort of important also from sort of experimental perspective, because one of the most important sort of natural ways to probe sort of topological insulators, of course, to probe the transport properties, and then it's interesting to know what actually, or important to know what actually theory predicts for the transport properties for realistic situation when you have both disorder and interaction. And it turns out that there is a very intricate interplay of disorder and interaction in the situation leading to quite, and also topology leading to quite interesting predictions. So this is a work done together with Pylostrowski and Gorny. Actually, we started working on this in the context of graphene. But then later we realized that it's, or extended it, but that much of what we have done also applicable to topological insulators, and the effect becomes even more interesting and relevant to topological insulators. If the time permits, I will speak at least briefly about another project, which is slightly different set of authors, with Igor Burmistrov, which is on a somewhat different subject. It's also transport in 2D, disorder and interaction. So in this sense, they're closely related by the formalism. But it's a different problem. There is no topology here. Instead of topologies, there is another important ingredient, namely superconducting instability. And it turns out that also here the disorder interaction interplay leads to very interesting results. So once again, they are related by sort of common formalism and so on. So that the appropriate also to speak about this is human effort. Time. So I will speak about topological insulators from the perspective of disordered system, which means from Anderson localization. So we sort of all know for already more than half a century from this famous Anderson's paper that sufficiently strong disorder normally leads to quantum localization and to formation of what we call now Anderson insulator. Yeah. So on the level of more sort of analytical description of this phenomena and also transition between the metal and Anderson insulators, there were several key steps, and one of those was an introduction of phenomenological theory of scale and theory of localization in 79. And this again is a plot that everybody has seen hundreds of times. It shows the logarithmic derivative of the conductance of the system size as a function of the logarithm of the conductance, so let's say a beta function. The prediction of this phenomenological theory on a phenomenological grounds was that in one in two dimensions, this beta function remains negative, which means that everything flows towards smaller conductance with increasing system size, and this is a localization, whereas in high dimensionality there is this transition point, so here you flow towards the metal, here towards the insulator, and this corresponds to dimensionality larger than two to Anderson metal insulator transition between the phase of delocalized and the phase of localized states when you change some parameter, for example, the disorder, and in between there is a critical point of the Anderson transition, So for those who want learn more about sort of the present status, well, we wrote recently a review where we tried to summarize what is known by, well, not already known by now, it's already 3 years old. Yeah, so maybe I should mention on this for if for non-experts, so just mention, so what is actually the effect here? So what is this renormalization of the conductance? It's related to the corrections to the conductivity due to coupling between diffusion and Couperon modes. And this can be understood so that the leading, the first correction here in the regime of large conductance can be sort of easily understood, and this is how it was first calculated by diagrammatic theory. Just so this is a usual conductivity loop, and this is this sort of set of diagrams which can be presented in this way as a sort of ladder diagram, as a maximally crossed diagram. So this is called the Couperon mode. On the physical language, this corresponds to interference of two counter electron propagating along two paths in the opposite directions, and this leads to first quantum correction to conductivity. And when this correction sort of proliferates, they lead to strong localization. Okay, at the level of field theory, this is described by, and this is sort of the modern way to view on this, is the sigma model. This action is shown here. It's written in super trace because it's written in super symmetric sort of version. In general, it would be just trace here. So the Q is this field of the sigma model, which physically correspond to density. So fluctuations of these Q fields are just this diffusion and Couperon modes. So in certain sense of these are slow. This is effective theory, the slow low energy, which means large distance or low momenta, low frequency effective theory of the problem. This looks as a Gaussian action, which would be trivial, of course. However, it's not Gaussian because Q is constrained. Q squared is equal to 1. So this is, belongs to the category of sigma models. The Q belongs, therefore, leaves on certain kind of a sphere, but it's a complicated sphere. It's not a vector sigma model. And sort of examples of the corresponding manifolds shown here. There are different versions of the theory for non-interacting case. One can use the called fermionic or bosonic replicas, because for non-interacting particles, it's actually not important. It's just one particle problem. You can think about it as boson and fermion, doesn't matter. Or combine them in a supersymmetry version, which is particularly nice because you don't need this called replica trick when you send this n to zero. And the corresponding manifold is a kind of sphere in one case, or kind of hyperboloid in the other case, or a product of two dressed by some anti-commuting variables in the supersymmetric version. I don't want to go to too much technicalities here. Those who know, and those who don't probably will not learn in 1 hour in details, but just want to give you a flavor. Non-experts. Now, so D here, this coupling constant, is the diffusion coefficient, and so multiplied by nu, the density of states, it just gives the conductivity, and it's basically the main coupling constant of the theory under renormalization. When you change scale, it gets renormalized, and this just corresponds to this beta function that I showed in the previous problem. Okay, now all this is without interaction. One can generalize this for interacting problem, and this has been done by first by Finkelstein and famous paper, set of papers in 83. I don't want to write because it becomes technical, but ideologically, it's the same type of action. Okay, now, of course, you should use interacting problem knows that your electrons are fermions, so one should use fermionic replicas. And also, now it's one, of course, there are many energies that are involved, so on. This Q field becomes also a matrix in sort of in Matsubara frequency space. And in addition, there are terms that are added here due to interaction that are bilinear in Q. So Q is, in certain sense, density, so it's bilinear in psi in the fermionic operator, and so interaction terms out the type QQ terms, and there are several of them depending on what is an interaction channel, singlet, triplet, Cooper. This we will come later. So one can generalize this also to the Coulomb interaction case and develop the corresponding RG, and this we will come to this. But before. Let me, for a few slides, remain sort of forget about interaction and just remind you a few other things. Well, I guess Andreas was giving a talk here where the next few slides probably appeared in some other way, some other form, but at least, yeah. But since it was probably quite some weeks ago, and I think the overlap of the audience is not so big, so. Repeats. So there are 10 symmetry classes, as we understand now, of a disordered system, and the classification was completed by Alfons Enzensbauer. So it completed because it was started by classical works by Wigner and Dyson, and this three sort of standard classes, again, orthogonal, unitary, and symplectic, that are distinguished by presence or absence of time reversal invariants. And well, for fermions, for interacting electron spin rotation invariants, but we have in practical terms where they have spin orbit or some magnetic impurities or not. However, there are further classes that appear in particular when you consider models with some on bipartite lattices in the middle of the band or in disordered superconductors when the Hamiltonian for quasi particles has a boogaloo of condition forms. In total, we have these 10 classes. And for each of these classes, there is a corresponding, well, there is one to one correspondence between this classes, this, the manifolds sort of the spaces of the Hamiltonians and symmetric spaces that are known from mathematics, from the classical works, and these symbols correspond to Cartan classification of these symmetric spaces corresponding to Hamiltonians. But also, if you look at the sigma models, they also live on symmetric spaces. And these are the same symmetric spaces that appear when you look at the Hamiltonians, but they are sort of reshuffled in a certain way. But the same 10 families of symmetric spaces. And for each of those sigma models, one can write the beta function, analyze it in the cases when we can do it, like in 2 plus epsilon dimensions. And so forth. And in general, yeah, you may have localization in all these classes. However, it turns out that the symmetry is not the only characteristic of the problem on disordered problem. There may be also a non-trivial topology, and this topology may protect the system from localization. Yeah.
Sorry, so in the last slide, so mathematically, what was the relation of this last space to the other two?
last space.
The U, like for example, the compact sector, how is that obtained from? Can that be obtained from these two spaces under that?
So this space, okay. So this space corresponding to the Hamiltonian, yeah? We have a Hamiltonian, yeah? Like, I don't know. So for example, yeah, I don't know. The class A, yeah, simplest example. Yeah, this is a class where you don't have any symmetries at all, yeah? So then basically the matrices are just arbitrary Hermitian matrices, yeah. They all are allowed, yeah. By symmetries. It's just a classification of symmetries, yeah? So then if you just exponentiate I times Hermitian matrix, you get the unitary group, yeah. So this is the symmetric space corresponding to the set of Hamiltonians. Yeah? Now you can derive a sigma model for this. Yeah. So you go by a derivation and you see where this sigma model lives. And this will be a different space. Yeah. And so you should work it out. Yeah. That's I don't think I can answer in one sentence how to come from here to here. So for each of those, you will get some symmetric space, yeah. And in fact, well, so what is written here is a compact part, yeah. So you can do it for fermions, and you will get some compact manifold, or you can do it in bosonic if it's non-interacting form. If it's bosonic, you will get some non-compact manifold. Or you can do both in supersymmetry then with two of them. And so what is written here is to what class the sigma model belongs, the bosonic, the non-compact, the compact manifolds of the sigma model. And so you see for each of 10 classes. So this is a Hamiltonian class, and this is the sigma model compact and non-compact class. And they're all different. Okay, yeah. So I said that topology is important, and this was understood on the level of the sigma model first, probably by Pruiskin, in the context of the quantum Hall effect. Well, I don't think there is a need to explain what is shown on this graph. So quantum Hall effect is a two-dimensional, it's a physics, so only two-dimensional system, and the longitudinal conductivity is sort of zero almost everywhere here, as you see, which would be consistent with what we expect in 2D, that there should be localization. However, there are the peaks which show that here is something going on and there is no localization in the system. Furthermore, the whole conductivity is not zero at all. Yeah? So it shows this famous Plato's, which means that even in this situation, when from the point of view of the longitudinal conductivity, it looks like there is localization, still something going on. And the question, so obviously there is no localization in a normal sense in the system, and the question how it's the field theory knows about it. Yeah, and the answer that was given by Pruiskin is that this field theory has a topological term. That in this symmetric class and in two dimensions, this theory allows another term, which is also a term with minimal number of derivatives. Of course, one, there are always, yeah, one can think about terms with high derivatives, but they are sort of irrelevant from the origin sense. So that's, but it's a term which is also a two derivative term. And the corresponding coupling constant is, so the, of the normal kinetic term is sigma xx, and this one is sigma xy. So this is a, this term is well, topological, probably such expressions appeared here already in this workshop many, many times, and it basically counts bindings of, in the mapping from two-dimensional compactified two-dimensional space on the manifold of Q matrices, which leave, which is, you can think about it just like sphere S2, it has sort of a part from the topological point of view, it has the same homotopy group pi 2. So the mappings from sphere here is classified according to the homotopy group Z. So the corresponding flow diagram is becomes more complicated because it's now two-dimensional. It's not just one coupling constant that flows, but two, sigma xx and sigma xy. And so this line, sigma xy equals zero, is just a line that we had before. Well, so and this should be an arrow downwards here, which means that the flow is down towards localization. Yeah? However, we see that tonal structure is more complicated. So here, for example, you flow down to another point, which also has sigma xx equal to zero, but sigma xy, which is one, and this corresponds to the order of the point two and three, and this just corresponds to this quantum called Plato's, where sigma xx is zero, but sigma xy is quantized, and these are different states of the sort of topological insulator characterized by, as we know, by certain integer number, integer number of protected H nodes that cannot be localized, that are chiral in this case, and therefore a quantum Hall effect is realization, such a first known realization of the Z pi topological insulator. So because these are different, so 0, 1, 2 are different, topologically different insulators, there should be a transition between them. And there are these transition points here, this one and this one, that exactly correspond to the point of this location of these peaks. And this is also what topology tells us that it should be. If there are two different topological phases, this different number of H modes, then in between, since this H mode cannot disappear abruptly, there should be a state which will be conducting in the bulk. Yeah, that's, and this exactly what happens. And so from the point of view of the sigma model, this happens when the corresponding theta angle, topological angle, which is here just sigma xy is equal to pi. So basically what I will discuss will be related to analogy to what some counterparts of this in the context of Z2 topological insulators, but also in the presence of interaction. Yeah. Yeah, so one comment maybe to this. So when one, so this flow diagram that I told you that this can be understood as a flow of this coupling constant sigma xx, sigma xy in the sigma model. So one should understand the statement somewhat with certain caution, because strictly speaking, sigma model is not renormalized to itself, when in this strong coupling regime. So it flows to, say, it's a fixed point here. So true fixed point is not exactly the sigma model. It's more symmetries, and so it's a bit more tricky. However, that's first. And second, there is no analytical theory or that would, strictly speaking, tell us that the structure here is like this and not more complicated. Because it's a strong coupling regime. It's not really reachable with sort of analytical means, at least up to now. However, what is shown here is, so first of all, it's a little bit qualitative. However, and second, it's sort of the minimal version of what happened here. And all what we know up to now seems to confirm that on the quantitative level, that's exactly what's going on, and that this correctly describes the physics, the flow on the qualitative level. But it's has not been, really has not been proven.
Well, maybe we should say that there is another universality class where this is better understood, referring to class C.
Okay, yeah, that's, but it's, yeah, that's true, but it still doesn't prove that. I'm saying we believe that that's in the moment. I think there are all sort of reasons to believe that that's a correct picture, but it's just wants to, so the word of caution here. Okay, now, so what do we know about Z2 type of topological insulators from the point of view of the sigma model? And in fact, let me mention my, as I understand now, first encounter with this, and that was a work, well, actually first by Martin Ziehenbauer, and then our joint work, also with Axel Millig, running almost 20 years ago. Then what we considered, so first Martin, then we together, was a many-channel, one-dimensional system, and in the level of in the framework of one-dimensional sigma model, and it the calculator, that was just exact calculation of the conductance, average conductance, and average squared conductance by one-dimensional sigma model as a function of the system size. Yeah, and what we saw, say, for orthogonal class or unitary class, that we see a sort of a crossover from weak localization to strong localization, and one can calculate exactly this function. But for the class A2, which is a class, a symplectic class, a class where you have spin orbit interaction and preserved time reversal invariance, something funny happened, namely the calculation gave that G average and G squared average did not want you to go to zero in the limit of large system size, but rather to a constant, yeah, which was 1/2, and it looked like sort of one channel, or more precisely, 1/2 of channel remained delocalized, yeah? Which we did not understand at that time. Now now we fully understand what's going on there. So basically, in this calculation, we implicitly included sigma model both with theta equals zero and theta equal pi topological term, and the topology allows theta equal pi topological term in these classes, just explain in a second. And that was just a half sum of 0 and 1, actually, because for even, and this 0 theta corresponds to even number of channels, whereas the theta equal pi corresponds, as we understand now, to odd number of channels when you have G that goes to 1. Yeah, that's a topologically protected channel, which corresponds to H of 2D topological insulator of a two-dimensional quantum spin hole system. So this is, I think, the first example where this, what you now understand as topological protection of surface or edge states, appears on a sigma model language. Now I will mainly focus on this talk on two-dimensional systems, and there was a beautiful work by Paul Findlay, which a lecture that I liked very much and learned a lot of this. I want to mention that what Paul writes here is that I survey the kinds of critical behavior believed to be exhibited in two-dimensional disordered systems. I review the different replica sigma models used to describe the low energy physics and discuss how critical points appear because of Vessel, Minervitten, and theta terms. Yeah? And he classifies sort of, these are all these 10 symmetry classes, and then he classifies what topological terms of, what non-trivial types of behavior can appear in a particular because of topology. And there are three classes that have Vessel, Minervitten, allow Vessel, Minervitten term in 2D, and two classes that allow the theta equal pi topological term. And these are exactly the classes, so these five classes are exactly those that are three-dimensional topological insulators, yeah? Because that's the way how 2D surface state can be sort of stabilized from the point of view of the sigma model by appearance of theta equal pi. So these are Z2 topological insulators in 3D, and these are Z topological insulators in 3D. So, yeah. That was, in fact, yeah, really 10 years ago. Okay, good. But that was sort of a bit abstract in a sense. It was in principle how this can appear. And now the question, where does it? In what situation these topological terms do really appear? And this sort of the boost to this was of course given by experiments, and first in graphene, and then on surface on topological insulators. And in both cases, they have two-dimensional Dirac fermions that emerge. And it turns out that that's exactly, so if you start from these Dirac fermions and add disorder to them, that's exactly when you get the series with a topological term. And so we did a calculation thinking about graphene by considering what will be the effect of disorder, what will be the effect of this Dirac nature of carriers on the sigma model in the context of graphene. And in the context of graphene, we had to make an assumption that the disorder is long range, namely that the two Dirac cones do not sort of talk to each other. There is no scattering between them. Yeah? Whereas the same calculation applies to topological insulator, and in this case, there is just one Dirac point. There is no need to make this assumption. So it's so here it's applicable without any restriction on disorder range. Yeah? So now I'll give you the calculation of the sigma model and taking care about sort of not to lose these topological terms, which requires certain care, but it can be done. And the result is the following, so that if you take sort of the Dirac, two-dimensional Dirac fermions with disorder and assume that the disorder breaks time reversal invariance. Yeah? So it includes a random potential and a random vector potential for Dirac fermions. Yeah? Then the time reversal invariance is broken. And then you get the theory which contains a topological term exactly of the type. It's a symmetry class of the quantum Hall effect. It's a symmetry, it's a class A. And the topological term is exactly the Proustian term with a theta angle equal to pi. So Proustian would get such a term in certain magnetic field, yeah? However, here it arises without any magnetic field. So you just take Dirac fermions with this sort of disorder, and you are at the quantum Hall critical point. Therefore, the flow of your conductivity is now shown by this red line. It's the same as now shown Proustian diagram. It's essentially the flow along this line, the critical line of the Proustian diagram. Yeah. You are this critical point, and so you flow into this fixed point, which was in the quantum Hall effect, the point of the quantum Hall plateau transition, and therefore the conductivity here is for, okay, so this factor of four is written for a graphene, where you have four fold degeneracy due to spin and valleys. And the prediction is sort of, for example, if you have graphene with long range disorder that does not couple your valleys, you neglect this coupling, and the disorder breaks time reversal symmetry, then you'll have a conductivity that will be like four times the conductivity sigma xx at the quantum Hall transition.
So this is if the Fermi energy is exactly at the Dirac. So presumably, does that change if you move away?
No. Yes and no. So from academic point of view, the answer is it doesn't change. From practical point of view, of course, it will. Yeah. So you see, the flow on this line is always to this point.
You have to go to a very large system.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like in quantum Hall effect. In principle, you can see it's all, but of course, in reality, you need sigma xx to be sufficiently small to have a chance to see it at realistic temperature, realistic systems. Okay. Now, yeah. So this is a case where you will have, for example, for graphene, this conductivity that will be at some at critical point, it will not at the limit of low temperature will not change. You know, which seems to be seen in some experiments. So well, the number is slightly different from what is seen. Whether this is an explanation or not, I'm not so sure. Okay. Now, imagine your disorder preserves time reversal symmetry, then you are in the class A2, which is a symplectic class, which you normally get in the case of spin orbit interaction. Here, it's, as we know, it's not real spin, it's a pseudo spin, yeah, corresponding to the sublattice. Yeah. So again, the sigma model, the derivation gives a sigma model contains a topological term, which also is allow it in this case. However, in this case, the topological term is of different types, is of Z type, and of Z2 types. And notice here it was Z because the corresponding homotopy group was Z. So, which means that the theta angle was in principle in Proustian, it was allowed to have any value. Here is the result calculation, that's pi. Here is that this angle can only be zero or pi, because this n can only take values 0 or 1. Yeah? There is no other values. This is Z2 topology. And again, the calculation tells that this is a non-trivial situation. This is a theta angle to pi. And this is how sigma model knows that you are protected from localization. There should be no localization in the problem, because we understand that this, expect that this surface state of a topological insulator cannot be localized, and indeed the sigma model tells us that there is this topological term that protects from localization. And the numerics that was done by several groups, so these are two examples, it does show that with increasing system size, the conductivity becomes larger and larger, and system flows to super metal fixed point. And this is a symplectic class where, when the conductance is large, then we know that it will become only larger with increasing system size. That's a situation when you have anti localization due to barrier phase associated with this speed. However, it turns out that even if you start, when you start from small conductor, it still flows up, so the beta function is remains always positive if you define it as the derivative of this conductance. So you never flow to the insulator, and this shows it. So that's from this work also did numerically a difference between the beta function for the usual symplectic class, and numerically when it changes sign, and here you flow to the insulator, and this situation with topology when there is no insulating phase. So one can sort of schematically conclude that if you consider symplectic class A2, and in the conventional spin orbit systems, you will have a metal insulator transition and certain value of G that we know from numerics in support of unity. So here it flows to this sort of super metal and due to weak anti-localization, and this is what we can calculate analytically, whereas here it becomes localized, and this is what we always expect for disordered system, that for low conductivity, low conductance, it should flow an insulator. On the other hand, when you have a Dirac fermions with topological protection, and therefore this topological term in the sigma model, like in the surface of a 3D topological insulator or graphene without Bailey mixing, the schematically, you always, the beta function sort of always positive in the sense that you always flow to the ideal conductance. Okay. Now, yeah, that's probably again a table that everybody has seen infinite number of times. So one can do this analysis for all symmetry classes and various dimensionalities. and see where the topology allows, permits for a topological term, and then one knows what dimensionalities the topological insulators are allowed, and the classes that are sort of most discussed now are the Z2 in 2 dimension and 3 dimension, and that's what I will also discuss in the next slides. Yeah, well, that I probably should skip. So one can, there are different ways to get in this table, and first it was Kitaev who was sort of analyzing the topology of Hamiltonians, but and an alternative way is to look at when one can write this topological terms of Vezumina or Z2 theta term, theta equal pi topological term, and in along the lines that I discussed, and that was all done systematically by Andreas and co-workers, and it turns out that these two ways nicely agree. So you can think about start from this logic, this disordered logic and sigma model, or you can start from clean system logic and look at the band structure Hamiltonians and underlying topology, and it turns out that these two approaches give same predictions in what dimensionalities, what type of topological insulators are allowed. Okay, good. Now let's return to this 2D Dirac surface states of a 3D topological insulator in this class A2, symplectic class of spin orbit interaction class, and ask what interaction would do. Yeah, so I already say that just with disorder we have topological protection from localization and RG flow towards a supermetal, infinite conductivity. So let me add the Coulomb interaction. I will assume that it's sort of not too strong. It's not exactly important what it is, but at least that it's not too strong, so it does not induce any sort of instabilities or symmetry breaking. And then one can argue that the topological protection from localization persists also with interaction. So yeah, from the point of view of sigma model, it's just because it's the same topological term that we will also have it also in interacting sigma model. If you are not happy with this one, can also, and there are sort of more so arguments different from this that show that the system also with interaction will have be topologically protected, and this can be, well, there are various ways to do this, but one of these is first to look at one-dimensional system, and then this the fact that in symplectic class with odd number of channels there is topological, there should be a conductance is understood just by looking at the structure of the corresponding scattering matrix, and it turns out that the determinant of this transmission matrix is should contain zero, just from the symmetry analysis, should contain zero of reflection matrix should contain zero eigenvalue. So reflection matrix should contain zero eigenvalue. There should be one channel that goes through without reflection, and this is true also for interacting system, because at low, in the limit of zero temperature, inelastic processes are not allowed. So basically, the physics is the physics of even if there is interaction inside, you can think about just particle coming in and particle coming out.
Sorry, why are there no multi-particle production processes?
Because they are all in these are inelastic things, yeah. And so since we are thinking now about sort of zero temperature,
we have examples where that happens. Well, zero temperature.
Then you probably need, yeah, okay. So basically you need the very strong interaction, I guess, so normally you will have the, due to the factors like T to some, like T squared or this, or T to, and basically you need a scaling of, there are examples of very strong interaction, then this will not be.
In Kondo effect is
yeah, okay, this might, okay, yeah. So with some exceptions, yeah, that's, yeah.
I was wondering, from the point of view of your sigma model, don't you have to add another sort of dimension corresponding to the Matsubara frequencies if you had interactions
No. Oh yeah, sigma model of course will have the semantics will be here, the matrix in lots of bar space also, and replica.
Does that mean that you have to go to a different sort of symmetry class because you sort of added another?
It's not no, from the, it's not different. Well, I'm not sure.
It turns out that the symmetry class is sort of the same. It's just a different way of describing the symmetry class. You just have a bigger matrix.
It's just the matrix is bigger, but it's the same.
It's a technical thing. We can discuss that later. Okay. So it turns out you can just add the Matsubara frequency as an index. It gets just a huge matrix. And that matrix has the same symmetries and can be classified according to the same symmetries.
So even the zero temperature rate is a sort of a continuous?
Yeah. The technical thing, how to rate this property.
And also, I mean, another question. So when you add interactions, do you add interactions only to the surface states or also to the bulk, which leads to the band structure in the first place?
No, of course, interaction. I think about interaction, which exists everywhere. Yeah, that's, but I assume that interaction is not too strong to complete. I mean, obviously, if you add very strong interaction, can change everything, it will not be logical insulator anymore. Think about just adding relatively weak interaction so that in the bulk it should not make any dramatic change.
So we don't close the bulk gap, that's the condition.
Yeah. Or should not lead to some spontaneous symmetry breaking or something.
But in principle, it may lead to some omega dependent terms in the reaction. If you basically describe a surface state, there is some not interacting band structure, but there are some interaction corrections to this band structure, which are something.
Well, so usually these are, well, this of course will modify the, I mean, always any realistic band structure that is calculated includes the interaction effects. Yeah, when people do numerical, but it doesn't mean we can not speak about band structure. It's just renormalized. Yeah. It's difficult to make any statement about interaction. It would be always correct in any situation, but so that's, of course, includes some. Yeah, well, another way of thinking about 1D system is to look at this just as a Luttinger liquid. And then we know that, so that's a backscattering, which is forbidden in this class, and with interaction, the interaction doesn't change the conductance. Again, there is a caveat here, because if interaction becomes very strong, then it turns out that some processes become relevant, and that may be related to what you asked before, yeah. But it's only for very strong interaction, so that's what I'm saying. Let's exclude too strong interaction, and that's it. And once you know that for 1D, you can also argue that it should also be in 2D, that in 2D, also with interaction, you should preserve this sort of topological protection, namely that the surface should conduct. Yeah? And one way to do it is to put this 2D on a cylinder. If you send a flux, half flux quantum through it, and look at the modes, then you will see that the number of modes will become odd, and that sort of one-dimensional modes in this direction. And so we know that this system should be delocalized, cannot localize, it should be in conduction. And assumption that the two-dimensional system is localized would be inconsistent with. So since in 1D there is no localization, there should be also no localization. Maybe there are nicer ways to show this, yeah, but that's at least one that we have found. Okay, so there is still a topological protection. However, it turns out that the interaction can change dramatically. What happens with conductivity? Specifically, if you now look at the beta function in the presence of interaction in this symplectic class, it turns out that it has the following form. So there is a term. Let me consider the system of symplectic class, but it may have n sort of flavors. Like in graphene, there are two valleys, two spins that are all interact with each other, but assuming there is no scattering between them. Let's say just interacting. Then the beta function for conductivity will be the following. It will be n over 2 due to anti-localization. There will be the term, and these terms are due to electron-electron interactions. So they sort of RG version of effects that are known starting from Alechuna-Aronoff calculations that there are logarithmic corrections to conductivity due to interaction, and so an example is shown here, and all this can be done on the level of sigma model, also as an RGN that was pioneered by Finkelstein, already mentioned. Yeah? So the beta function for the conductance conductivity will look like this. So there is the interaction can be split in the singlet and multiplet term, and this term leads to sort of localization. It leads to decreasing of conductivity with larger system size or lower temperature. So larger L means corresponds physically to lower in temperature. And this multiplet term normally is the opposite. It wants to increase the conductivity. It's more or less like Hartree and Fock, not exactly, but it's. Now, in case of graphene, N equal to 4, and we see that this term gives 2, so this anti-localization wins with respect to electron interaction, even if forget about this term, it also helps to delocalize. So interaction doesn't change much. Everything flows to large to infinite conductivity, to supermetal. However, in the case of a topological insulator surface, N is equal to 1, and there is no degeneracy. The spin is broken, so due to spin orbit, there is no valence. So N is equal to 1, so this term doesn't exist. And this is just 1/2 minus 1, this is -1/2. So we see that this interaction term changes the sign of this beta function, and therefore the interaction starts to flow towards, the conductivity starts to flow to smaller values. Interaction wants to localize the system. So the Coulomb repulsion destroys the supermetal phase. The flow is reversed. Well, actually, one should do it slightly more carefully, because in fact, there is another channel of interaction, which is a Cooper channel. So in general, the interaction, I mean, it's just, there are, if you just write the interaction and we'll try to decouple it in different ways, you will see that there are three. Possibilities, there will be spin singlet channel, there will be spin triplet channel, there will be also Cooper channel, when you decouple. Like, say, Psi-Dagger, Psi-Dagger, and so the full RG includes all these channels. Now the singlet channel, in the case of Cooper, in the case of Coulomb interaction, it's Coulomb interaction is extremely strong interaction, and so the corresponding constant is just fixed. It's essentially there is no renormalization of this constant. The triplet interaction here doesn't exist because this mode is massive because of spin orbit, but there is still a Cooper interaction, and in principle there are two coupled equations: the renormalization for conductivity and for this Cooper interaction channel. One can derive it again from doing RG for sigma model. But now if one analyzes these two together, so one sees that this gamma C remains small, assuming you start from positive value, which means there is repulsion. There is no superconducting interaction. If there is attraction, things, of course, change dramatically, or may change at least. But if there is no superconducting interaction, then this gamma C remains small under RG. And therefore, it does not change this -1/2, which is a combined effect of weak anti-localization and interaction in single channel. So you flow towards small conductivity.
Excuse me.
And yeah.
That's a good question. From the point of view of different symmetry classes, so let's start with a non-superconducting system and add the, let's say, attractive interaction. So then it would become a superconductor, which means that it should go into a different symmetry class. Look at Gupta-Jean class. So is there a
I think you.
I'm just wondering if there is a way to go beyond symmetry classes in terms of some phase transitions.
Yeah. So the fact that you see the interaction in the Cooper channel doesn't mean that you change any symmetry. You always have interaction in Cooper channel. You don't, in order to have what you want on the symmetry class, you should have superconducting stability. Yeah? Then you'll have a superconducting order parameter. And then from the point of view of fermions, they will sort of move on the mean field level. Yeah? We'll have a Hamiltonian, which will have a superconducting gap. Yeah? And that's.
But this feature within the closed symmetry class, there's no way to go to a different one, right? So I'm just trying to understand, because we know if you have an attractive attraction, you will have a superconductor.
Sure, no, of course. So if, basically that's, I'm not sure whether I reached it, but it's probably not there, but we can discuss later. Of course, you can do the same formalism if you have attractive interaction in the Cooper channel, yeah? You can do this analysis, yeah? So, then at certain point you will have a superconducting instability in the system, so you will see it out of this formalism that there is a phase, that there is a superconductivity. Then if you want to analyze what happens, I mean, usually when we have superconducting phase, it's not very useful formalism because we have a gap and there is no, but say in the case of like D-wave superconductivity, we still have a quasi-particles near zero energy, and then you get all this, hopefully, I don't know, I can see it somewhere, all this boogaloo with Bejean classes where you can also apply this formalism. Okay, so just to compare the same equations for short-range interaction, yeah, and just to emphasize that it's important that Coulomb interaction long-range that I assumed on the previous slide is essentially different from short-range interaction. Yeah? So if I have weak, let me emphasize that here, weak short-range interaction, so then there are, in fact, three equations, because then the constant gamma S appears, which is an interaction in the spin singlet channel. So this constant is just becomes minus one in the case of Coulomb interaction. So this gamma S is related to the, well, this macroscopic value is related to the corresponding Fermi liquid constants. It's just something like F divided by one minus F, just a geometric series where F is a corresponding Fermi liquid constant. So when F is sort of infinity, like for minus infinity, like for Coulomb interaction, this will lead to minus one for this gamma S. So in the case of Coulomb interaction, this gamma S is fixed. It's just unit. It's not renormalized. And for any sufficiently long-range interaction. But here, it's just a constant, yeah? And it can be small. Yeah? So imagine the interaction is screened by something, yeah? By some gate. Then you get these equations. And if you analyze them, you see that if you start from weak interactions, they also remain weak. And so they will not affect this one half that stays here, and this is anti-localization now, and it flows to supermetal, yeah, to infinite conductivity. So weak short-range interaction and Coulomb interaction lead to sort of qualitative different prediction. If you start from strong short-range interaction, then I'm not so sure, because it point that it may happen that it will first the flow will be towards smaller g, and g can become of order of unity, and then we just lose control. Yeah, we don't know what happens. Yeah? In principle, one cannot exclude that also strong short-range interaction lead to some funny new fixed points or something. But there is just no control on this. Yeah. Okay, good. So it means that this interaction, we have a tendency to localization at large G, so it wants to localize with Coulomb interaction, yeah, returning to Coulomb interaction. Yeah. But on the other hand, topology is still there and it protects the system, and so the only way to reconcile these two is that there is some fixed point in between, and which means there is some critical state with the conductivity of the order of unity. Yeah. So the prediction is that on the surface of this topological insulator with Coulomb interaction, with lowering temperatures, the conductivity should go to this fixed point. In principle, it should happen wherever you start. But of course, to see it realistically, you should start not far from this. So that's, you should be sufficiently close to the Dirac point, like the question was before.
So in this analysis, you're assume that there is just one Dirac Coulomb surface, right?
So what happens if you have odd numbers, say n equals 3, n equals 5?
Well, it's a Z2 topological insulator. We have this order. So
right,
from the point of view of this, nothing will change. Yeah, you should.
Right, but these non-universal effects that you were discussing, so they depend on the number of.
They depend on this number n, which is a number. It's not a number of cones in your Benz structure. So this number n is a number of modes, of your massless modes from the point of view of the theory. When you have disorder, everything will be mixed, yeah? And so only, I presume that only those modes persist that are protected by some symmetries, yeah? So the coupling constants are,
N is the bare number of modes, right? Before you turn the interactions on, or is it?
Like, okay, once again, say assume graphene, where you have n equal 4. It means that you have 4 cones, yeah? Well, 2 and 2 to speed. Now we assume that disorder does not couple them, yeah? Then you will have the theory with n equal to 4. At the moment you allow disorder mix them, things change, yeah? You lose
So n equals 4 graphene is basically n equals 0 for your purposes, with the disorder that mixes.
N equals 4 graphene?
The disorder that mixes the cones, it's like n equals 0, right?
Yeah, then there will be no pair. Okay, good. So, yeah, this is a summary. So if you're in this symplectic class, and look schematical on these beta functions with interaction, without interaction, with interaction, and in sort of a normal situation with topology, you may have get this 4 qualitative clause. So this is the usual situation, no interaction, and no topology, then you have metal insulator transition. With interaction and still without topology, you always flow to the insulator because with cool interaction. Now, topology without interaction, you have the flow to the supermetal, and now this topological protection plus interaction implies that you should have this critical. Yeah, now the question, can one see it or have one? Has one seen it in experiment? Well, there are experiments on transport on surfaces for 3D topological insulators. So as we know, that's experimentally is a very difficult and controversial subject because it's difficult to be really in this topological insulator phase without bulk transport, and it's difficult to tune this to the vicinity of the Dirac point. So, but sort of people work on this, yeah. So there are some experiments that I found, and so let me show them. So this is the conductivity on the surface. So these are all this Wismut, it's probably Wismut selene, I guess. It's shown here. What is this one? Yeah? And so you see that the conductivity with lowering temperature goes down, as we expect. And this is despite the fact that if you look at the magnetic resistance, you see anti-localization. Yeah? And this is fully consistent with what we expect. Yeah, if you look at the magnetic resistance, you see only the quantum interference effect, the anti-localization, whereas in the transport, in the temperature dependence, you see both weak anti-localization and interaction effect, and interaction wins, and it goes down, and in fact, the coefficient is reasonably close to this, the number, this minus 1/2 improper units that is expected. However, if you look at the absolute units here, this is G in, what are units? 10 minus 4, now I should recalculate this. In units of, so here it's easy, it's already written, it's 24 in units of square root of H. Here it's, I think it's more or less, it's something like this, it's like 50 or I don't know. It's like here, it's the same plot and other group, it's G is 24 in square root of H. So in principle, according to what we expect, it should go like this, up to roughly 1 square root of H and then saturate. But of course, obviously, since it's a log scale, it's absolutely unrealistic to come there with in here, and the point is that, of course, this value depends on where you are with respect to the Dirac point. Yeah? And so let's see if one can tune this closer to the Dirac point, then one should see that this topology that will be in game. Yeah? So,
could you also make it more dirty? Okay.
Experimentally, yeah, I don't know, maybe. In principle, theoretical, probably yes, but of course, I don't know how would it affect the other properties of the system. So, yeah, so another situation where we see similar physics is, so now that was surface of a 3D topological insulator, now let's consider 2D topological insulator, quantum spin hole, and consider what happens when we go in the 2D topological insulator from topological insulator phase to the normal insulator phase. So we'll still be in 2D, but now that will be bulk 2D. So now that was surface 2D, surface was 3D. Now, this is what was done experimentally by Lawrence Mollenkamp, who was speaking here about this related experiment 2 or 3 weeks ago. And what they observed is that they make the width of the quantum Bell structure. They change it. They can go to the situation when they see this roughly 2 square root of H conductance due to H states, which is a topological insulator, 2D topological insulator regime, to the situation when they see something like normal insulator with much, much smaller conductance. Yeah? So by changing the width of this mercury telluride quantum well, they can go from 2D normal insulator to 2D topological insulator. Yeah? So the equation, what happens in between? So in the absence of interaction, the answer to the question what happens in between and the following, in between, there is a metallic phase. Yeah? So now the question that I'm asking is similar to the question of the quantum Hall transition. Yeah? So there are two different two-dimensional topologically different insulating phases, like two different plateaus of the quantum Hall effect. So here it's just a normal insulator and topological insulator. And now I'm asking how you go from one to the other. Yeah? And in the quantum Hall effect, we know the answer. We go through the critical point of the quantum Hall transition. And this answer is like this without interaction, and apparently the same with interaction, although the details of the fixed points may change, but qualitatively it's the same. Now the question, what happens here? And so the answer in the absence of interaction is that there is a metal in between. And this is allowed because this is a symplectic class where there is anti-localization. So metal is allowed, and that's exactly what the analysis also, numerical analysis, shows, that you go via metallic phase. Now, yeah, okay. So, we can, yeah, that's a very, very schematic plot of this. So in the absence of disorder, yeah, of course, in the absence of disorder, you just change the band gap and from the normal to the inverted. This is exactly what happens when they change this width, yeah? And at some point, you go from the normal insulator to the topological insulator, and this is just some point where the band gap closes and then reopens again in an inverted way, yeah? Now, with disorder, there will be an intermediate phase, and this phase is a supermetallic phase. Yeah, that's what we understand now. Now, let's add interaction to this, Coulomb interaction. Now, we know that the Coulomb interaction will kill this supermetal, yeah? Because, again, of the same reason, yeah, there will be a flow towards lower conductance. On the other hand, we also understand that we cannot go from the normal insulator to this non-trivial topological insulator just continuously. Yeah? Topology tells us, it's not only topology preserves this phase, it also tells us that there should be some point in between where there should be the bulk conductivity, like in the quantum Hall effect. Yeah? In the quantum Hall effect, we know where this point from the on the sigma model language, because this is where the theta term is equal to pi. Yeah? So here it's more tricky, because it's so all this is described by a sigma model without any topological term. Yeah? However, still, so from the language sigma model, I wouldn't know where it is. However, I know that there should be some points from that. And so now what happens at this point, again, for the same reasoning, they expect that there will be a critical point with the conductivity of E squared, of the order of E squared of H, just because the conductivity goes down, it's from large G, and the topology tells us it should not go to zero, and this will be sort of a quantum spin hole transition between the spaces. So logically, I cannot exclude that there is a whole critical phase like this, yeah, but I would find this much more surprising, but I logically it can also happen, and yeah, that's not a point, but it was a phase. Now, again, there is some experimental activity toward this, and so Lawrence Mollenkamp actually is working on this. They identified this critical thickness of this quantum well, and also looked, but not to very low temperatures, but at least in certain range of temperatures, the conductivity, and it seems that it has some tendency. So the, I don't know, red or some feet, I don't know what it is, yeah, but these dots are sort of data points, and it seems that it has some tendency to saturate at some value. So this looks consistent with what we expect. So in principle, if one would be able to make the thickness to change it continuously or in small steps, one could study this criticality, this transition, like a quantum Hall transition. Yeah, because I think it's a sort of, it's an interaction. Yeah, it's, I think, very interesting story, because it's something like, and now some counterpart of the quantum Hall transition, but here it only exists as critical point only because of Coulomb interaction. Yeah. So without Coulomb interaction, there was just a metallic phase in between these two metal insulator transitions. But now with Coulomb interaction, there should be this critical point that in principle should be possible to analyze it, sort of the sort of scaling analysis like quantum Hall effect. But of course, here it's more tricky, because to tune through it, one needs many structures. Yeah? There is another realization of the same story, and of this transition, namely, one can consider surface of a 3D weak topological insulator, and this I realized about this possibility to sort of to view this from this recent works by Arie Stern and co-authors, and also by Joel Moore, who is here, who considered in the non-interacting setup the weak topological insulator that can be obtained, 3D weak topological insulator that can be obtained by staking 2D topological insulator, 2D spin quantum spin hole systems. And then the surface of this, which will be formed by this H states of the spin quantum of the quantum spin hole systems, can be viewed as a weak topological insulator. It has two Dirac cones, and on this surface, one can realize again this type of transition, namely by making staggering. This is similar to what actually Leon Valens was in some different setup discussing yesterday. It was also a transition due to this staggering type of coupling. Same can be done here. You have this H states, and you can pair them, have coupling between them, small, large, and then change this. So go from one staggering to the other. And this exactly would go from one insulating phase on the surface to another, which is topologically distinct, and it should go through the, without interaction, it goes through the metallic phase, and this is what discussed in these papers. Whereas once in the moment you take into account interaction, the same logic should be applicable here, and this should go through the critical point, or maybe through a critical phase, yeah, but most likely through a critical point. Okay, good. So, I think I will not be able to just do, let me know, two sentences and I will finish. So that's a separate story that we did recently. I said that it's a similar formalism. There is no topology here. And that's a question that actually is pretty old. Namely, what is the effect of localization of disorder on the temperature of superconducting transition? And this is an old story starting from Anderson's theorem, which says a disorder does not influence the TC. And, well, it has been understood for years that the theorem is not exactly a theorem because, yeah, remarkably, the Anderson theorem is not a theorem because it doesn't take into account Anderson localization, Anderson. So one was Anderson paper 57, another was Anderson paper 58. So that's really remarkable. And then later, so it was quite some activity on this, and it was understood that with Coulomb interaction, that again was Finkelstein, that Coulomb interaction plus disorder suppresses TC. Yeah? Now, so what we did here, we reanalyzed this, and now the most interesting situation turns out to be when we have a short-range interaction. Yeah? And it turns out that the short-range interaction plus disorder may, so that localization combined with the short-range interaction may dramatically enhance TC. So the usual BCS mechanism suggests, well, very simple, so you analyze this equation and you see that localization, naively we think localization wants to localize. It's something that goes fully against. However, it turns out that the renormalization of interacting coupling constant gamma C of the Cooper channel attraction, in this case this is attraction, leads to very strong enhancement of this superconducting instability due to interplay of short-range interaction disorder. Again, the results are totally different for Coulomb and for short-range interaction. Okay, yeah, so if anybody is interested, I will be happy to give sort of more detail later in private discussion. Let me finish. Oops. Maybe, I'm not sure. So this is this part that I did not discuss. So basically what I showed that the considered 2D transport in topological insulator systems, and it's what I show that interplay of localization, interaction, and topology in the case of Coulomb interaction leads to quantum criticality and to conductivity, which is of the order of E squared over H, which, and other properties of this, this, of course, this critical state should have many other properties that we expect from critical states. This happens first on the surface of a 3D topological insulator, and second, at the quantum spin hole transition between a normal insulator and topological insulator in two dimensions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
So we are running late, but let's have maybe there are maybe two questions or so.
I'm curious about the interaction effect on the wire with the flux through it. So as I understood,
on the wire with?
With the pi flux through it. Mm-hmm. So if it's long enough, we would say the wire has a protected mode.
Right.
And probably the conductance is E squared over H, and that's probably robust. It's at least robust to weak interactions. Is it robust to Coulomb interactions? E squared over H conductance of the wire?
That's... There is a slide of this that I skipped. Huh? a second. I guess this is a slide that answers to some extent your question. I'll support it. Use your work. So if you consider this Z2 type 1D system with interaction, then there is no usual backscattering, and so then you expect just as a result that the conductance, like a larger liquid, is just unit conductance that you expect. However, as was sort of found in Joel's paper and also in another one, for sufficiently strong interaction, there are processes of sort of essentially inelastic processes of 2-pi backscattering that become relevant, and this happens when this k Lattice liquid is parameter is sufficiently small, so smaller than 8. So it's a strong interaction. Yeah. Now, for Coulomb interaction, this k is actually not a constant. It's slow. It's a function of the momentum, which means of the scale image. Yeah. And it's a very slow function. It's the square root of logarithm. But still, if you go the longer system, it becomes k becomes smaller and smaller, and fraction becomes stronger. So at certain scale in principle, you will reach the situation when this should become relevant. So I don't know exactly what happens beyond the scale. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah, but I'm not sure. However, at the moment, I would just say that if you start from some not too strong Coulomb interaction, then this scale in principle exists, but it's because of the square root of logarithm, it will be absolutely unrealistic. Yeah, so you can sort of forget about from any practical purposes if the interaction is moderately strong, and that's also if you take experimental data of interaction. And that's, however, in a more sort of academic or theoretical, this question does exist, and I'm not exactly sure what happens.
All right, more questions? If not, then let's thank Sasha again.